It's such a joy and honor to be able to stand here this morning. And I know it's a daunting task to stand here, especially after Pastor has preached consecutively 3 Sundays. As we all know, Pastor is an excellent expositor of God's Word. So it's always daunting for me to stand, especially after 3 Sundays of his sermon. But I hope you'll just endure with me for a few minutes and let's see what God has to speak to us this morning. By now you must be aware that we are doing series on the events from the life of Christ, and as I've just said, Pastor has taken us through 3 consecutive Sundays already. And if you were not here or were not able to listen to the sermons are available in the website, so please feel free to go to the website and check it out there, and you can listen to the sermons there. And by the way, it is free of cost, so you can just access that website. Today I would like us to look at the event of Jesus' meeting with the Samaritan woman, as a passage was already read to us. This may all sound like Sunday school stuff, the story that we all know right from our childhood. But then there is so much we can draw out from this story, and it is relevant in many ways, even in our own context. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, came to the world for a specific purpose. He was on a mission. He had no time to waste. Though there are some people who would like to label Christianity to be a foreign religion and are not happy that the gospel is reaching to every nook and corner of the world. But the truth is, Jesus came for the whole world. They are just saying it because they don't want and they don't understand the truth to go on. And at the same time, they misguide others as well. That is why we, as a church, have such a huge responsibility of taking the truth to the world that is engulfed in the darkness of sin. Even here in our own country, there is so much division in caste, color, religion, economical status. And the sad part is that same culture seeps in to our churches in a very, very subtle way. The church is a bride of Christ and is to represent God on earth. And so the expectations are very high, and the church needs to be mindful of that. Many years ago, in my earlier days of ministry with the previous organization that I worked with, we used to have a church in South Delhi. And the members of the church were mostly uneducated, and they came from a very poor background. There was a senior pastor who was helping us. And one Sunday morning, he and his wife wanted to go to that church, and they did go, and they had a wonderful service. People were all blessed. And later on, after the service, they wanted to give some refreshment to the senior pastor and his wife, and the local pastor there offered water to the pastor's wife, and she made all kinds of faces and she flatly refused to drink water from that place. And later on, the local pastor narrated to me what they just experienced, because they felt that they did not come up to that expectation in terms of their hygiene or maybe the way they looked. And so it had a great effect in a negative way to them. So I can never forget that story. I can never forget it. So I thought I would narrate it so that we could somehow relate to what I'm going to say later on. On the other hand, the episode that is found in John chapter 4 is the complete opposite. Jesus crossed all barriers and he met the Samaritan woman. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The love of God is so great that he could not just see his creation that would be separated from him for eternity, that he had to send his only Son, the Lord Jesus, to die once and for all. The love of God can be seen in this passage where Jesus meets the Samaritan woman. As you all know, our country today is so polarized. We are a diverse nation. If we go from the north to the south, from east to the west, there is so much diversity when it comes to caste, color, creed, culture, etc., even the food that we eat. Instead of trying to find unity in diversity, it seems like there is so much hatred towards certain community or certain religious groups. Where is love today? I think we don't find that anymore. It's waning away. It's fading away. Even relatives and neighbors fight and they cannot resolve a conflict. And it ends up taking ugly turns, never to reconcile. These divisions are not only in our country, we see it globally as well. There is so much racial profiling in many countries, and it is obvious and is getting worse day by day. And I sometimes wonder, even I might be guilty of such biases. We all might have been guilty of the same. On a lighter note, this is such a humorous matrimonial, one mother wrote and was narrated by pastor almost 2 years ago. Hope I'm not violating the copyright, but since I have given the due credit to him, so I should be fine. I will still go ahead with it. She writes, "Son, 29, Hindu, 6 feet 2 inch, fair and good looking, well built, bachelor's of engineering and a master's in business administration. Currently working as an assistant general manager in an internationally renowned bank. Professionally well settled in Chicago and earning quite a lot. Own house, all this, and my stupid son has got neither the charm nor the smartness to figure out a woman and convince her to marry him. And he expects me to find a suitable, God knows what that means, match, whom he will be spending a good part of his future with. Any good-looking, matured, and understanding girl who also hasn't been successful in winning a guy's heart, please contact us with your photoshopped portrait. Looks like my son knows to judge you for the above qualities looking at it. Please feel free to ruin your life by marrying a total stranger. And don't you dare call this holy matrimony, cause it ain't." The point is, human beings have been reduced to that of a commodity that is sold and bought in the market. That's what we can infer when we look at matrimonial sites. It is so sad. It looks like evil is growing day by day, and there is no stopping. After having narrated all the wrong things that are happening, you might be saying, "John, we know all of that. Is there a solution? Or is there an example that we can follow?" And today's sermon is exactly the answer to the question. We have a perfect example to follow. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 4, this is one such event where there is so much that we can learn from this episode of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. This is an example of how you and I should be, or how the church should be. In this passage that we have just read, there are so many obstacles that Jesus had to go through in his encounter with the Samaritan woman. The first obstacle or boundary is a geographical obstacle. In John chapter 4 verse 4, we read, Jesus had to pass through Samaria. So he was on his way from Jerusalem to Galilee and he had to pass through Samaria. They say that passing through Samaria was the quickest route, but the Jews would often avoid it. They would not like to go through it because they did not get along with the Samaritans. They were their enemies. So we are not sure whether Jesus was taking the shorter route or was God actually leading him to meet this Samaritan woman. So he had to overcome a geographical obstacle or boundary. That is the first one. And the second one, he had to overcome an ethnic boundary. In John chapter 4 verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." The Jews and Samaritans simply did not get along. And the Jews always looked down on the Samaritans. So as I narrate this, I hope it rings a bell to us as well, because we might also be guilty of doing the same. And as Pastor has also been teaching us about the Samaritans, by now we must be aware that they are a mixed race. They are half Jews and half Assyrians. And that is why neither the Gentiles liked them, neither did the Jews like them. They were like an outcast. They were somewhere in between. And nobody wanted to do anything with them. And here we see Jesus in Sychar in Samaria asking Jesus for a drink. And the third obstacle is the obstacle of gender. Because we know that in ancient times, women were looked down, especially even in the Jewish culture. They had no standing, they had no place at all. So for a man to interact with a woman was something that was just so low. And here in John 4:27, we find that just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you seek?" Or, "Why are you talking with her?" But Jesus did not bother at all. We know that Jesus in his earthly ministry always had women who were always around him. In fact, even his resurrection, it was women who were the first witnesses. And the fourth obstacle is the obstacle of a moral nature, the moral one. In John 4, 16 to 18, Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." She would be somebody that in the society would be looked down upon. Even then, Jesus, knowing very well who she was, did not stop interacting with her. And he rather engaged her in the conversation. Even in the Old Testament, I'm sure many of you might remember, there is one woman that has been mentioned. Somebody who is attached with not a good character. But later on in the genealogy of Christ, her name was added, Rahab. I think you remember that story. So we should never look down on people. We don't know how God is going to use even such people. We can be very judgmental. Let us not forget that Jesus came for those who are lost. Jesus came for those who are in need of a healing. Jesus came for those who are in need of health, who are sick. And the fifth obstacle or barrier was a religious one. In John chapter 4 verse 20, she says to him, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship." Mount Gerizim was a place that the Samaritans set up a temple to worship, while the Jews worshipped at the temple in Jerusalem. If you had attended the scripture hour, Pastor had explained all this so beautifully to us before. And there was a major conflict between these two. And in John 4, 21 to 23, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him." Jesus was dealing with the Samaritan women with so much love and care. He never despised her. He never looked down upon her. And after the conversation, you know the story, what happened. The woman rushes back to her village. She shares her testimony because she knew and realized that she was talking to the Messiah. And you know what happened because of that? So many people believed in Jesus. And these people came and met Jesus, and they asked him to stay there longer. And we know that in the passage it says that he stayed 2 more days and he was ministering the gospel to them. In this passage, why is it that Jesus was crossing all these boundaries and obstacles? Why is it that he took so much effort to talk to a woman who would be despised even within her own community? But Jesus, a Jew, and a woman who is a Samaritan, but Jesus took the trouble to speak to her. And we know that even Jesus in his time ministered to all classes of people. He never picked or chose a certain kind of people to minister to. He ministered to everyone. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." It is only the love of God for mankind that compelled him to send his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who would die as a sacrificial lamb once and for all. And that is why this episode, Jesus purposely broke the geographical boundary. Because it says whoever, which means anyone and everyone. It's an open invitation. So it is only the love of God that compelled the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus did not have any problem interacting with someone whose geographical location was avoided by the Jews. How about us today? Are we making conscious efforts to cross geographical boundaries just to minister to those who are hurting, the ones who are neglected? Are we doing that? I know there are some who would intentionally do that because they have received a clear calling from God. Just as we have prayed earlier for our missionaries, and also the missionaries of the past, they have crossed all boundaries so that they may minister to such people. Jesus showed us the way, so we too should do it. If only we had love for the lost people, that would have motivated us. Many years ago, when we were in the process of moving to Janakpuri from Safdarjung enclave, we were moving into a tiny house, and some of the people there belong to a certain class of people who are looked down upon by others. And one senior Christian lady asked us if we were really considering moving into that area. And I replied, yes, we are. She could not imagine staying in such a place with such people. We never had any problem there. We stayed in peace with everyone. We have had wonderful experiences. The neighbors are kind. The neighbors are good, because we have tried to do that as well. Everyone is created in the image of Christ. While some may be an upper caste, or the other a lower caste, some rich, the other poor, some educated, the others uneducated, all these divisions are definitely there because we are in a fallen world. These things should not bother us too much. Just as Jesus crossed all obstacles and boundaries, we too should be able to do it. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, when Jesus commissioned his disciples and the church today, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Talking about all nations here would actually mean ethnicities, different people groups. So there are stories of so many missionaries who have left their comfort zones and have moved into places where nobody wants to go. And because of their sacrifice, we hear stories of transformation in those communities time and time again. And we praise God for such people. In the Great Commission, it is very obvious that Jesus wants us to go to all nations, to all people groups. Let us break down our prejudices and our biases and obey the command of Christ. I also thank God for DBF Dwarka and the DBF at large. We are not a church that speaks one regional language, that belongs to one community or a tribe. We are from different ethnicities, and that is so beautiful. And I think that is what God wants to see from all of us. And in Revelation chapter 7, 9 and 10, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and the Lamb.'" What a sight it would be to behold on that day. To stand before the Lamb, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there would be people from every nation, there would be from every tribe, people who spoke different languages. And there might be people groups whom I might have hated, standing there as well. It would be shameful for me then, if I would have been that way while here on earth. The mission of God is for the world. And Jesus, the incarnate, the Son of God, demonstrated that for us. In the encounter with the Samaritan woman, he crossed all obstacles or boundaries, such as geographical, ethnic, gender, moral, and religious one. And because of this encounter, that led her to tell her testimony to her people, many in that area believed in Christ because of that. And today, I would like to encourage all of us to try and do what Jesus Christ did. He has demonstrated to us while on earth so that we can follow in His footsteps. He wants us to represent Him just as His mission is for the whole world. So also, let the mission be ours too. And that is what I would like to encourage us with this morning from this story. Not too much about what happened between them and what they talked about, not getting into that, but the bigger picture of the mission of God for the whole world. And as we learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ, may we be able to apply that in our own lives. And even today, for all of us sitting here, may we be able to go out with that we need to go out to represent Christ and God, breaking all boundaries. It's a big challenge, but that is the command and the call that we have today. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us and loving the world so much that Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of yours, broke every boundary, every barrier, every obstacle, so that the truth may be propagated. In the same way, Lord Jesus, as we have tried to explain this in simple terms, I pray that all of us sitting here today would receive your word. And wherever you have placed us, I pray that we may be able to go out into the world and be able to do the same. Give us that same love and passion so that we may be able to reach out to those who are lost, so that we may be able to reach out to those who are hurting. We may be able to reach out to those who need the good news today. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, we pray. Amen.